Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Dylan.
And this is Mom Fails by Juna, the podcast that debunks the myth that moms have to be perfect. I'm far from perfect.
Me too.
And when it comes to our kids, we occasionally mess up.
I mess up literally all the time.
But we're here to tell you, it's all good.
Our hope is that by hearing funny, honest, sometimes embarrassing stories from real moms, you'll feel less alone, less like a failure, and more part of our community of moms who are trying their best, sometimes slip up, but learn from their mistakes.
This podcast is free of judgment, full of snark, and definitely not safe for kids. If you have a mom fail to share, DM us on Instagram at juna.moms or email me, sarah@juna.co. That's sarahjuna.co. Let's get started.
I like what you said. It's not my finest moment.
Yeah.
Just a little moment. Like, oopsies.
Oopsie daisies. Exactly. I have literally like three a day where I'm like, I handled that differently. And on days when I don't have them, I'm like, you crushed.
Do you just have a note going in your phone now? Yeah. Here's all the things.
Yes. When I think of old ones, I also go back and I'll tell you, it's not great on the confidence.
Like, you've got a lot. See, mine are so plentiful that like I forgot to prepare, but immediately one just popped in. So.
Oh, by the way, same. I literally didn't have one for this morning and I was like, good thing you had one this morning already.
Okay, so what kid is it usually, Sarah? Which kid is it associated with the most?
I will say that me doing something in terms of reacting is usually Luca or Kyla. Neglecting something like
Levi.
That results in, yes, Levi. Because like Levi is, oh God, although yesterday I yelled at him and here's my mom fail.
Hey, there we go. I mean,
this wasn't even going to be my mom fail. But yeah, yesterday, literally, Levi just like had our giant like menorah was like on the table. And he's like the kind of kid that likes to like push boundaries as far as he can possibly push them. And his goal is not to see what he can get away with. It's because I guess that is the goal. It's like, let me see what I can get away with until somebody like says or yells at me or takes me away. So it's like he pushes it even further than a normal kid would push it. So mm-hmm. he like drops this thing on the countertop and it like makes this, it's like metal. It's like makes, I'm like, oh my God, I think that the countertop is going to split in half. And I'm like, Levi, he picks it up. He looks at me and does it again. I'm like, and then I go, and as he was doing it, I like was like, Levi, because I'm like literally, oh, my God, we rent this house. If this kid splits this countertop in half and we have to spend $2,500 replacing this countertop, like I'm going to be a very upset person. And he just bursts into tears. And then I have to spend the next 15 minutes. We're trying to leave because we're going skiing for the day with him sitting on my lap, calming him down. Meanwhile, I'm just like, you're the asshole. Like, you looked at me and, like, you were like, oh, I'm going to do this again. What? And I'm like, wait, in what world? But, of course, like, Levi is just so sweet. It's so sad that I was just like, then we were late, obviously, getting out the door because I just needed to like, get him back down to ground zero. Mm-hmm.
That was, that's my fail for the week.
Get it?
That's not really a fail, though, do you think?
I don't like yelling at my two-year-old and making him cry. That's not a prep. It's not a fail. That's not my finest moment.
Yeah, there we go.
It's like not consistent with my value that things are things. And as long as nobody is hurt, I don't get mad at somebody for breaking something if it's an accident. I the perspective that like this is stuff and that is not a value of mine to be like some people are like very and that's fine too. But I just that's but when it's like a $2,500 like stuff, I'm like, oh, that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dill, what's yours?
couple, 8 and 1 toddler, just started pushing boundaries. Somehow, from her mom, she started saying, stop it all the time. And it's really mean. And so, listeners, if you have any advice for how to get people to, how people, our kids, to stop saying stop, holler. But I started saying, stop it, please, stop it, please, to make it maybe nicer. Somehow she adopted, stop doing that for 2 hours. Like, where did that come from? But she just screams it at me. She's like, stop doing that for 2 hours. What are you even saying? And it's like really hard to set a boundary with that because it's so fucking cute. Mm-hmm. And so the fail, which is not my finest moment because you're trying to be stern, is I obviously just crack up at it and encourage her and anchor on even more. So she gets emboldened to say, stop doing that for 2 hours every single time I give her a no. I'll leave it at that. I had a couple more I was going to share, but.
By the way, I will say, because Aiden is just over 2, right?
Yeah.
So Levi, who's 2.5, his new thing, and I would say it's been going on for about 2 months, is I don't, like, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so every morning when Scylla comes up, our au pair, she comes up and Levi recognizes that that's our transition. That's usually like when mom and dad go to work and they, and so he goes, I don't like Cece. I don't like Cece. And then and if he doesn't get anything that he doesn't want or anything doesn't go his way in the same way that it sounds like Aiden, he goes, mm-hmm. I don't like you or I don't like mommy. So you want to talk about mean?
Yeah.
But, and I will say, now that it's kid 3, like the sensitivity to it is like 0. And sure. Also the recognition, that's just his way of being like, I don't like this transition or I don't like that response. I don't like that answer. This is not good for me. And I'm like, I get it. You can have that feeling. Like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm still going to go to work. Scylla's still going to be taking you to school. And that's just that. But you're going to be dealing with this, that, like, the stop doing back. That for 2 hours. Until she replaces it with something meaner and more annoying.
Oh, cool. Cannot wait.
Wow.
Yeah. Someone who has a 14-month only, I'm like, woof, something to look forward to.
Oh, yes, girl. Mm-hmm. Yes, girl. I'm going to introduce you. Okay. It was fun to have you involved in our intro. But this episode is like a few of the other ones. Anna is a friend of mine and Dylan's. Mm-hmm. And are you anonymous? You are anonymous.
Oh, I don't have to be anonymous.
Okay. All right. You're good. You're good with your tail. And she, like you just heard, has a 14-month-old son. And Anna has been so gracious, she's going to share one of her mom fails with us. And so I will let you take it away.
We're going to take a quick break so I can tell you a little about the Juna app, the app that makes this podcast possible. Juna is the premier app for every stage of motherhood with a 12-week trying to conceive program, as well as workouts and key nutrition information for every week of pregnancy and postpartum. Plus 4 full video courses on birth prep, breastfeeding, newborn care, starting solids. The app is designed to be your number one companion from trying to conceive through your baby's first year of life. It also includes daily diaphragmatic breathing and pelvic floor exercises, daily tips and notes from me that are relevant to the exact things you might be experiencing. These are so helpful for easing any fears and preventing the dreaded gestational Google mania, that sickness where you just can't stop Googling every little thing that happens during your pregnancy. Juna is available for both iOS and Android. Just search Juna in the app stores or go to the juna.co. Again, that's juna.co. The app is completely free to try for 7 days, and if you decide it's not right for you, you can cancel anytime within the first week. No questions asked. Download the Juna app today and get started.
Oh, I feel like yours are so funny or like cute, and mine's like probably going to be controversial because I feel like anytime you talk about the topic of how you feed your child and like what you feed your child, it becomes instantly everyone has an opinion.
Yeah.
So mine is probably a bit of a long story, so I'll make it as short as possible, but I've been lactose intolerant since I was 18. And then when I got pregnant, as you can imagine, I didn't eat any cow, dairy of any kind. I had my son end of last year. He's 14 months now, and I breastfed him for about 6 months. And then I was living in the Netherlands at the time, and goat milk formula is very popular there, as I think it like low-key is in circles in the US, and everyone spends a bunch of money to import European formula. In the Netherlands, you just grab it at the grocery store. It's no big deal. So when we moved back to the US earlier this year, it was around the time of the formula shortage that was just devastating families. So at the time, I was like, let's just ship back a bunch of formula and get us to a 1-year transition to milk. When that hit, I asked this pediatrician, what's your opinion? Everyone has an opinion about what milk you give your kid.
Yep.
And even like you two, like Sarah, I think we talked about it as well. And she was like, cow milk, whole milk, organic, grass-fed. It's the only way. And I was like, I don't know. I think because he's not used to it. She's like, it's fine. He's been tolerating normal yogurt fine. Do it. So this is also around the time that he started daycare. And also around the time that RSV was going crazy and everyone's kid was sick. And I think still is happening, but it feels a little less the last few weeks, especially here in New York. So I kept going back to my doctor because guess what? My kid coughing up a lung all the time, constant runny nose. We should have taken stock in Boogie Wipe. Like it was constant. And I went back to my pediatrician a couple of times. We did virtual visits. We went in person. But you're unlucky. He probably just got a cold, got another cold. That's daycare for you. And around Thanksgiving, we were up in Hudson Valley. My husband and I woke up one morning at 5 a.m. and I was like, we're done. We're done with cow milk. I just think it's cow milk. Let's change it. He went to two very country convenience stores. He went to a Dunkin' Donuts to try to find finally did a grocery store, came back. We switched him. And you guys, 3-4 days later, cough's gone. Runny nose was gone. He was eating better. He was happier. It was night and day different. And even to this day, telling my pediatrician, she's okay, maybe it's just a coincidence, like the timing and maybe all the sicknesses, like he just got over it. And my mom fail here is you just got to go with what you know your kid is. It's just, I know it's like very Pollyanna, it's simplistic. It's, you know your kid better than anybody else. But even doctors will just say, you should do this one thing when you're like, I'm looking at this child who is having the worst, like his life was so like, brought down by the fact that I just was not listening to my gut for weeks. And finally, my husband had to say, we got to change it. Like something's happening here. And I was just scared of what the doctor would say. I was scared of what people would say because I was like, yeah, he's on this non-cow milk and maybe it's not optimal, but like it's night and day different. And I had to even remind myself, Sarah, that you said one time, like my kid doesn't even like milk. Like,
none of my
and
kids
I had to start
milk
asking
ever.
Friends. Yeah. But here I was like, as a first time parent, you're so aware that you don't know what you don't know. And I was like, this doctor must know best. And finally, I was like, I'm done. We're so done here. And even now she won't like admit that I was right, which I don't know why that bugs me. But I do really like her. But like it was the advice that she gave just was not right for my kid. So my mom fail was definitely that I feel like I made my kid miserable for weeks when he didn't have to be miserable.
I would like to take this opportunity to say, I don't think that was a mom fail. Like you listen to your gut. And the thing is like, I think like you could have lasted a lot longer keeping him on milk, right? Like you, I think, sure. Could you have been like trusted your gut immediately and been like, no, you know what? I'm lactose intolerant. The likelihood that my child is going to be lactose intolerant. I'm going to go, I'm going to do the research, go, and we're going to go with the non-dairy milk. Could you have done that? But no, you asked like a pediatrician, your pediatrician who you implicitly trusted and you asked her opinion, she gave it to you, you followed it. Like, I totally get your perspective with being like, I lasted too long and like those things are going to happen. But I'm really glad that you did trust yourself. You're looking at your kid. You do know your kid best. You're just like, look, also, not to mention, like if your kid is sick and you and Ryan are not getting sick at all either, because that you get every cold too. Right. Something else is indicative. Uh-huh. You guys just aren't getting these viruses. Like, no.
Yep.
So.
Right.
Yeah. I think I'm sorry that like you went through that because like watching your kid struggle and feel sick and feeling like it is your responsibility because it is. It's our responsibility, especially when they're that little, to be doing the best things and making the best choices. But like you got there, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you'll probably run into this as you keep interviewing moms for this. Like, everything from, like, your perspective can feel like a fail. Mm-hmm. But then, like, other moms will be like, that's not a fail. Let me tell you another. And
yes.
It's all about how you perceive it. I think it's just so difficult when it comes to things about food, because I think I was going back to even when I decided to stop breastfeeding at 6 months, like, everyone had an opinion about that. And it's loaded, and you hope that everyone has the best intentions. But again, at the time, I was just like so worried about him getting something that would put him in the hospital that I was like, I can't do this anymore. And you feel like it feels like a fail to me. But when you're looking around at all the other kids, like in Sarah, like your son was, went and got had RSV, you're like, it's not that big of a deal. Nothing feels like it's a big deal except for, like, in your little house, right? When you step out into the world.
Yeah, that's the point of this podcast, really, is, like, in your own little world, it feels like a failure. But with perspective, it feels a little bit better. And ultimately, you did what was best for your son. You trusted your gut.
Yeah.
You did it. I also want to just name, I think there's a lot of people trying to promote this narrative of, let's destigmatize how we feed our kids. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're breastfed, formula fed, whole milk, goat milk, whatever. Like, they're fed, they're healthy, just leave it be. Similarly, I decided on day 2 of my second child not to breastfeed. And it was the most liberating decision of my entire life. And then the next day, there was the global formula shortage. Mom fail right there.
By the way, and I want to do a whole episode on feeding your kid mom fails version, but not mom fails, because I think it's like, I think to your point, like, it doesn't matter how you feed your kid. Like, what matters is internally how you feel about it. Yeah. And I think that's like the larger problem is that moms aren't trusting themselves. And so they're letting like other, like, I think it's like, to your point, and we will go into it much in a much greater detail, but like, you felt great about deciding not to breastfeed at 2 days old. And so I don't think it would have mattered if someone said to you, hey, Dylan, like, you really should breastfeed, because like, you've weighed it in your head. You feel good about it. It's like double finger, like double middle finger. I just like, go, like, I'm fine with my decision. I don't like, I know all of the data. I'm fine. Like, I don't care. So thank you. But no, thank you. And I think like, we need more moms owning their decisions, because like, then it doesn't matter what other people think.
Yeah. I'm like, totally. We need more moms owning their own decisions, but then we need other moms that are okay with other moms owning those decisions.
But
you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, but and my therapist would say that's, you can't control that, right?
Yeah.
You can't control anyone thinks of you. And so what difference, and this is like such a common phrase, I love it, but it's like, what people, other people think of me is none of my business. Like all it is going to make you do is feel insecure. And so the like, sooner you can say, I'm confident with my, but girl, I agree. Stop judging other moms. Who the fuck cares what they're doing? What's happening in your own little home? And that's what matters. But again, like, I can't control that. People are going to think what they think. There's like posts I'll see and I'm like, how are you saying that out loud?
But that's like,
I know.
You're on the internet, right?
You okay?
Yeah. So, yeah. You're like, I like can't even bring myself to say that to one other mom. How are you promoting this on like internet where nothing goes away? It's there.
Yes.
Forever.
Yes. Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to say that out loud, like, to my husband. Here you are.
I will finally say, like, the selfish element of this podcast is that I get to learn from our guests. And my daughter has been coughing for nonstop, and her favorite food is cheese. And because she's so miserable, I'm giving her so much cheese. And now I might stop. So thank you.
Every child is so different, right? But yeah, I'm like, my husband will eat like some cheese one night for dinner, and we don't eat it a bunch, obviously, because I'm usually the person that cooks the most, and I can't really digest it. And he'll be like, oh man, that cheese is a bad decision. I might have such a runny nose this morning. How we didn't put that together way faster is crazy. Mm-hmm. But looking back, it's fine. Now my kid demanded a gingerbread cookie for dinner the other night. And I'm like, all right, we're losing control very fast with our 14-month-old. Also, who taught him gingerbread houses?
It's ingrained in them. Yeah. I have four gingerbread houses, like, just like sitting on my table, which I'm like, when can I throw this out? Like, when they go back to school? Like, it's just like a mess in my house that I don't want to look at.
Yep.
And now we're piling on, because right now they're upstairs making gingerbread cookies to go with the gingerbread village. And I'm just like, I should be happy that they're just not bothering me. But I'm like, that's so messy. And the mess. Yep.
Can you smell that's a gingerbread cookie? Who taught you cookie equals that. How, you know what I mean? And I don't know. They just get it. But maybe try decreasing the cheese. You also only live once.
It is. By the way, when we'll wrap up with this, the amount of trial and error that we have tried with our kids' diets. Remember Levi was getting these super flushed cheeks. And I was like, this is eczema. And it's definitely from something he's eating. And we would just eliminate things. And then if it didn't make a difference, we'd add them back. We'd eliminate something else. And then we were like, this is 100% gluten, took gluten out of his diet, and then waited 2 months. It went away, went back 2 months later, and he was totally fine. And I'm like, okay, this is. And so I think it also changed, things change too as their guts evolve. And it's always learning.
Always learning.
I would like you to do an entire series on food and how you feed your child. But I just want to hear what other moms feed their kids in the toddler phase. I have got to hear every single mom talk about this.
I actually love this idea. We should get 5 volunteers. Hey, I want to hear a day in your life of what is. And I want you to be honest, because if I'm honest, here's what I'm going to tell you. My kids ate yesterday. They ate for this. For breakfast, they had French toast. Luca will fucking refuses to eat French toast, so I need to make egg on toast, and then I have to make Kyla French toast, so that's always fun. Then for lunch, they had a giant M&M cookie and two bagels with cream cheese, which is a win. And then for dinner, they had one bite of pizza because my kids don't like pizza, and then had ice cream. So that was dinner last night for me, and I preach nutrition.
Enjoy. Mine had cheese for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then was up all night coughing. So
perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. Gingerbread, morning, noon, and night.
Perfect. There we are. Perfect. Only once. Yes. Yeah. On that note, Anna, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was so fun. And again, if you guys want to be on the podcast, want to tell us what your kids eat, we would love to hear from you. DM us at juna.moms on Instagram or email me at sarah@juna.co. And we would love to hear from you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you have a mom fail you want to share, please send us a DM on Instagram at juna.moms or email me, sarah@juna.co. Remember, you can share your story completely anonymously, so you don't feel like you need to be on camera. If you want to be, that's cool too. If you're trying to conceive, pregnant, or newly postpartum, please check out the Juna app, which is the app that makes this podcast possible. We have trimester-specific workouts, pregnancy tracking, nutrition support, and recipes for you and your baby, as well as courses on breastfeeding, preparing for birth, taking care of your newborn, and starting solids. You can find the app in the App Store by searching Juna or by visiting juna.co. Thank you so much for your support, and see you next week.